Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am back with my co-host, Casey B. He is only joining me today for toast and roast, and then the main topic of the episode, I went in deep talking about design because it has been something I have been spending a lot of time doing. People, if you follow me on social media, if you follow the podcast on social media, you kind of have seen it's something I've been doing a lot of, both in a creative sense and then partially in a professional sense. So I wanted to talk about it and why it's really important to kind of present yourself well and how easy it can be to dive into some of these design topics and just practice on your own and how it can be really easy and really fun and won't cost you any money. There's lots of free options out there. So it's pretty niche talking about this today, but I hope you guys enjoy it and learn something. If it's something that you've ever been interested in, I give a lot of information there. I tried to make it a short episode, but I ended up talking and going in deep on some things. So it went longer than I thought it was going to, but there's some good information in there, I think. Talking about how I got started, some tips and tricks when you're learning design and different tools you can use, and then some people I get inspiration from and kind of what I want to do next with design. So that's what's coming up in the main part of the episode. But before we get into that, I have toast and roast with Casey B. And so I am going to have you start because you said you were ready to go. Don't want you to forget. I want you to share your roast.
My roast? So I'm allergic to everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So right before the wedding that we went to on Saturday, it was Saturday, right?
Yep.
We went to, Applebee's.
Yep.
And we got nothing crazy. Everything I've had before.
The appetizer sampler. If you know Applebee's. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's like the best thing you can get. You get some chicken wings, mozzarella sticks.
Some what?
Chicken wings, mozzarella sticks, quesadilla, and spinach artichoke dip. And then you had some beer.
Yep.
A normal thing to order. No fish, nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy. And then I turned into a red balloon. And it was terrible.
Yeah, Casey, we're starting out the episode. This is gross. I think it's disgusting. But you broke out in hives. Your face was bright red. And thankfully, it was almost like you were sunburnt. But we had to get you some Benadryl. And then you were just not a good time at the wedding.
No, I was totally out of it the whole time.
Yeah. So, real fun wedding date I had.
I'm the most fun.
It was just staring off into space, like, basically the entire time we're there.
That's what Benadryl does for me, too.
Well, so, yeah, Benadryl's a hell of a drug, man.
Benadryl gets you there, man.
Do you have a toast? Anything lighter?
Anything lighter? Well, in fact, I do.
Okay.
Today, I got the sawmill running at work.
Okay, this thing is, I don't know what I expected. I didn't know what a sawmill was. I had an idea in my head, and it is somewhat similar to the idea that I had in my head. I kind of pictured like a big
circular blade.
I don't know. Now that I've like tried to I see it in my head. I think, what does a planer look like?
A planer, it's just a big kind of rectangular machine. And then there's a little slot where you put the wood in.
Yeah, that's, I think I was picturing like a giant version of that. I walked back there. This is like, I don't know. I thought it was going to be.
It's from the 70s.
Okay, so it's this old machine. I thought it was going to be newer. for whatever reason, because you were so excited about it. I don't know. And I thought it was going to be more of a, how would you say, more of an automatic process. This thing is so funny. It's hilarious. And I understand it's helpful, but it's just so funny because you set down a piece of wood. We'll say like a big log. You weren't doing a big log today, but you were, for the listeners, imagine putting this big log on this long metal, kind of like a cage like thing.
Track,
table, cage thing. And how long is this entire thing?
It's 30 feet.
30 feet. Yeah, so it's long. So you put it on, and then on one side, I don't know why it's so funny. You, on one side of it is the blade with a motor, and that has kind of like a little metal cage thing around it. And then what you do, I mean, I guess you could explain it, but it's just funny. I think it's funnier if I explain it, because Casey turns it on, lines it up, puts like the blade where he wants to cut this piece of wood. And then you literally physically walk and push the blade through the wood.
Yep.
It's just funny.
It's so much fun. I love it.
This is what I was picturing when you guys were talking about, oh yeah, this is going to be really helpful. We got a sawmill. We're going to be able to cut some of our own stuff, remanufacture. So what I'm picturing, I don't know why, is something more like a wood splitter.
Oh.
But maybe okay. More precise. Like I'm thinking that speed. This is nothing like that.
No.
So I don't know if anyone thinks this is interesting, but it was just funny because you were so excited about it.
Oh, everyone's excited about it.
So why is it so exciting?
Well, I've been using it since I was probably 16, because it used to be up at our house in Port Angeles.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just love it. It's like I have so many good memories. It's like I used to cut slabs on that, then bring it into the high school wood shop and build stuff out of wood that I cut.
So it's nostalgic.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I like that. A cool older piece of machinery, but I was just thinking like, you know, me at work, I have no time for that nostalgic crap of like, I thought we're being efficient here. I thought we're like, chop, chop. But well, it's very cool. And you guys say it's going to be helpful, but
that's the next step too.
It's to make it.
Yeah. We're doing it more automatic.
Yeah. You just got it up and running today, literally today.
Yeah.
So you're kind of doing all the test runs, but yeah, I was like, you're just having too much fun at work today. You're literally playing with a giant toy.
I was like my dad when he gets on his tractor.
Yeah, well, I think you need to get back to work.
I know. I was enjoying it before I have to go back to 2x2s.
So my roast of the week has to do with work, because I need help figuring out how to do this, how to just let it go, like Elsa. But there's this one person at work who does not like me, a customer, not a coworker. that would be really awkward. But there's like one customer who doesn't like me, and it makes me sad. And I like think about it all the time. You guys know when you have like one of those things, you're like about to fall asleep, and then something embarrassing you did, or somebody who you know doesn't like you just pops in your head and like keeps you up for hours. This guy does that to me, and nobody likes him. Like, they're like, why? Like, he doesn't like anybody. Nobody likes him. Like, why are you losing sleep over it? I don't know, but I need help to like let this go. But I had an encounter with this person this week, and it just made me sad, because I didn't even think about it, because I know this person doesn't like me, but I'm trying to be helpful. And they were waiting to go into our office. And I said, oh, I didn't have a line at my window. And I said, oh, I can help you over here. And he looks at me and goes, I'll wait. And proceeds to wait. And, you know, it's just dagger to the heart. But I just need to, like, not take it personally. And I know that this person, like, whatever.
He's
not
a
big deal.
A-hole.
There's a lot of situations with it. I don't want to get into it and like be like, then they did this, and then they did that, blah, blah, blah. But it's like just that situation. I'm just like, and I shouldn't even take it personally, but I do. So that's my roast, is not really even him. It is him, but it's like me. Like, I need to just let it go. But it's like, this is going to be a recurring thing, so you're going to have to deal with me eventually. Like, yeah. And I'm a good worker. Like, that's, people should not like me. That's something I'm very confident. If I don't know something, I will ask. Like, I'm not going to point you in the wrong direction. That just makes me mad. But there are so many people who, like, make me so happy. I've been having today there was just, like, a couple people in a row that had, like, no idea what they were doing. And they're like, can you give me everything I need to build a fence? Everything. Like, you guys sell the tools and everything. I'm like, no, we don't do that. He's like, yeah, you do. I said, no, we don't. And then I was just like, oh my God, this person was driving me insane.
Yeah, you do. No, we don't.
Like, you guys have the nail gun? I'm like, no, I'm not going to sell that to you. Like, you got to go to Home Depot. And then they're like, what? No, you could do it. I'm like, no, I don't have it. No. Like, oh.
So, well, I'll run to Home Depot, buy one, then we have to mark it up.
It just really grinds my gears when people don't know what they're doing. It's like going to a grocery store, asking somebody, like, I'm going to make brownies. Can you make sure I get everything for the brownies? And, like, no, it's your job to know the ingredients for your brownies.
I'm making chicken marsala.
Because if I get you, like, something that you don't want, if I get you nuts for your brownies and you're allergic to nuts, we're going to have a problem. If I get you this kind of wood for your fence and you don't like it, we're going to have a problem. And it's like every day these people are like, yeah, I mean, just, you know what, whatever. And then they come back and say, that's not what I wanted. And then just, oh, guys. I need to not talk about this on the podcast. I'm trying not to, but it's just, today was a lot. So I need to remember it too. Like, there's a time to ask people for advice, and then there's a time to be like, maybe I should do some research. I really try to, like, know what I'm talking about when I talk to people, or if I don't know, I'm going to be straight up and be open to suggestions, not just like, just... We went to the design place for making t-shirts, and I don't know all of their different things with t-shirts, and, you know, certain things come in different colors and materials, and certain things can be embroidered, certain things can be screen printed. And so, you know, you ask those questions. You don't just go to a t-shirt design place and say, yeah, whatever you think. Like, whatever you think. Like, no, it's not my fence. It's not my house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, Casey.
Oh, I know. I feel like if we were to...
It's not my brownies. It's not my cake. Like, it's... I just don't understand how it doesn't commute. Like, compute for some people. Like, you don't go to a...
compute or commute.
It's like when you go to a restaurant, you say, what's a special? And then you're allergic to shellfish, and they say, the special is crab. And you say, oh, my gosh.
Just like, are you kidding me?
Don't you know I'm allergic to crab? No, that's
how much
special.
Does that cost? Oh my God, that's highway robberies.
Oh, this podcast is turning into me and Casey just venting about dumb
work.
People.
I feel like if we go back though, I will have a roast that's exactly like that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, totally. Just people back not being prepared, not knowing what they're doing. It's like if you don't have the time to put research into what you need to do to, say, build a fence or build a deck,
you
then
probably
you shouldn't be doing it.
It.
So you're just going to screw it up.
It's like, if I just thought of something. Have you seen the picture of Patrick from SpongeBob when he has like a piece of lumber like nailed to his head? Like, I need to like print that out and put it somewhere at work and just be like,
oh my God.
Don't be this guy.
God.
There's a big difference between somebody who sells materials for something and somebody who makes something. Like, you can go to Joann Fabrics and buy fabric And a lot of people there know about quilts, but not everybody knows how to do a quilt and this craft and that craft. And you don't go to like Joy Fabrics and be like, what do you mean you don't know how to do this? What do you mean you don't know how much I want? Well, how big's your quilt? I don't know. Anyways, guys, I'm getting off track again. My toast is going to be super simple. My toast is that when we went to Pullman, we bought Cougar Gold cheese, and we have been having the best grilled cheeses and the best grilled cheese with tomato sandwiches ever. Here's the deal, guys. Here's a hack for you. Splurge on the good bread at the store. So the Seattle sourdough bread, the one that comes in the round loaf, it's like $4 for the big round loaf. You got to get that. It's a million times better. And you will just feel like luxurious eating your, even if you use regular like Mexican shredded cheese on that kind of grilled cheese. Oh, sourdough bread. Amazing.
What if someone doesn't like sourdough?
If you don't like sourdough, I think that same company, it's called the Seattle sourdough, but I think they make a French one in that same.
Well, if you don't like sourdough, I don't care to know you.
Or maybe they have cracked wheat. I don't know. But they have, yeah. You got to get the good bread.
Got to have good bread.
You got to. Because I used to always buy the 99-cent loaf of bread. And
mistake.
It's fine for like a PB&J. But like if you're going to make a dinner sandwich, a grilled cheese, a panini, you got to do it. Another bread that I love.
Well, you know what? I really love rye.
I hate rye bread. It's disgusting. Bam. And somebody brought in a loaf of rye bread to work for you guys. See, there's great customers too. This guy's so nice. He always brings in food for people. Yep. And he brought in a loaf of rye bread. And the guys like rye bread. And some people love it. Some people hate it. I had a bite of it. I was like, this literally tastes like cigarette ashes. But you love it.
Yeah, I don't think like, it tastes like that.
And that's what I've I think it
tastes delightful.
This might be a poll on the social media page.
Does it taste delightful or like cigarette ashes?
easier. Do you like or not like rye bread? Rye bread is what they use for Reubens, right?
Yeah.
See, that's a big problem because I love the meat that goes into a Reuben, but I don't like rye bread or sauerkraut.
Oh, nothing better than a good marbled rye.
It's pretty.
It's tasty.
It's good. You got to order that sometime for, I can put it on the Foodstagram.
Oh,
because it's beautiful. But yeah, no, I think it's gross. Yeah. But my other bread that I do like that you can splurge a little bit on, that's more like a regular bread. It's the Sara Lee Italian bread. And if you make cinnamon toast, it's the best bread for cinnamon toast. Or if you're making French toast, also a great one. I could do a whole podcast about bread.
Bread? So let me tell you about bread.
How do you feel about Wonder Bread?
Wonder Bread kills baby birds.
What about Dave's Killer Bread? That's what it's called, right?
Never had Dave's Bread.
You've never had that?
No.
I've had it before because I was friends with hippies. And it's like that. You've seen it before though, right?
Yeah.
It's like heavy.
Yeah, it's far too dense.
That stuff is crazy.
I wouldn't try it.
I'd rather not.
What else?
I think we don't need to talk about bread
anymore.
About
bread? I love bread, though.
Okay, give me your favorite bread.
Favorite bread? Probably sourdough. Good quality sourdough. Fresh made. Oh! The guy that brought the rye? He's bringing in a loaf of sourdough for me next time.
Nice!
So.
Oh!
Oh! His sourdough's the best.
Okay. I'm really excited because next week we are having a guest on the podcast. So it's not just going to be me and Casey or just me having a guest on. And I am excited for you guys who are interested to hear about kind of my stuff with design. I say this, but I am not a graphic designer. I'm not a professional, but I think it's a really good skill to have and something fun to play with and something I'm kind of passionate about. So I wanted to do kind of a deep dive on it. So hope you enjoy the rest of this episode. We say party on, or I say party on at the end, but it's not as fun when I don't say it with you. So party on. And I'm back. I am back to talk about design today, specifically graphic design, but we'll just start out here. I am not a graphic designer. I am not a design expert, but I have been playing around with this. It has been a big part of my life over the past, really the past 5 years, but even before that, but now in the past couple months, it has been something that I have been doing a lot more. And so I wanted to share about it because it is a great skill to have, a great marketable skill to have, a great thing really in the creative field, and also just, I'm going to talk about all the benefits. So I'm just kind of getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but I have been really focused on design over the past couple months or so, and been trying to learn more about it. If you've been listening for a while, I got my iPad, so I've been playing around with Procreate. So I wanted to talk about some of the different programs that I use, and it's going to get more fun. Some of the different programs I use, the different tools, how I got into design, and why you should kind of learn something about design if you're interested in it, and some of my favorite things and what I'm looking to do in the future with this. So if you do not think you're artistic or anything like that, there is still plenty that you can do with design. There are so many tools out there, and it is just something that is kind of different than what I normally talk about on the podcast. It is not really personal development based, but it can be, because it can be a creative outlet, and it can also be, you know, I like talking about business and entrepreneurship and branding and business development, and design is a huge part of that. So I am still just, you know, an amateur designer. I just do things for fun, and I've just started doing a couple things that are more kind of professional. But I have been designing for the podcast, for that social media page, and also now some of my other social media pages. I have been designing on that for a long time. So the question I got with design was like, how did you get started doing this? Like, how do you know how to do this is what people ask me sometimes. And I will kind of share some of my designs, and but I wanted to talk about how I got started, because it is a skill that is so important. Making something look good is important. And if you don't know how to do that, knowing somebody that does know how to do that, it can be just as effective. It's fine if you don't know how to design something. I don't know how to do a lot of things, and that's fine. But there's so many tools out there that can help you do things kind of like the easy version, the beginner version, design for dummies. So how I got started doing this was really with some of my projects in college, was where I dove deep, but I started doing this even before then. Fun fact, when I was in eighth grade, all of us had to kind of job shadow somebody and talk to somebody about their job, about their career, and do a big report on it before you graduated eighth grade. So I actually went and job shadowed my mom's friend, Monica, and she was a graphic designer. And I thought it was so cool, but I didn't want to be a graphic designer. But I did a whole project on it. You're supposed to do the job that you want to do for this project when you're finishing up eighth grade. But I didn't want to be a graphic designer. I wanted to be a choreographer. And, you know, that's the dream. But that's not realistic. And when you grow up in Port Angeles, Washington, you are not going to find a choreographer. I could have done my dance teacher, but I wanted to do something different than a dance teacher for my project. So for this project, we actually drove across the state to visit my mom's friend, and she took me to her office, and she was working for a fabric design business, I think. So they did fabric, but they also did scrapbook paper. Basically anything that you would buy at Joann Fabrics, they sold. So really interesting stuff. And they kind of would design the prints for the fabric. And so it would be like a design with I specifically remember Easter being the theme. So there was like Easter egg pattern with like pastel colors, and then they had that same pattern on paper, and then they also did designs for quilts and stuff. I am sorry, this plane sounds really loud. I hope it doesn't come through super loud in the audio. But anyways, job shadowing that. And my mom's friend also worked on the movie Dinosaur. I don't really know what she did still to this day, but graphic design can be so many different things. But the kind of the point of the story is that I didn't really want to do this, even after job shadowing and seeing how cool it was, and I loved the creativity aspect of it, but I was like, oh, that's not for me. I don't really know why, but it's just not something I would want to do full time, I don't think, but you never know. Life has a crazy way of making us realize things. Like, I never thought that this design would even be a huge part of my life until I went to college. And as most of you know, I went to college for sport management. So how did I start designing things in college if you're not going for art or graphic design? You got a lot of projects when you're in college, especially in sport management. You do a lot of mock-ups, a lot of projects, a lot of things kind of preparing for advertising an event like a basketball tournament, or God, there's a million different things that we did. We did a lot of big projects. That's what you do in sport management, is you learn how to actually be a project manager, an event manager, how to sell tickets, how to do all kinds of really important things. I do still think my sport management degree and the program at Washington State University, fantastic program. I was prepared for so much after graduating, and you learn all these different aspects of running an event, and it doesn't have to be sports, but you get so much business knowledge just from doing that and having a kind of business degree along with that. So sport management was doing a lot of mock-ups, and I started doing website design just for fun. So when I was in college, there were, I don't know if other people did this or if it was just me, but there was the idea that blogs were popular, but blogs were kind of phasing out, and then we're moving into the world that we're in now with the influencers and Instagram, and more so than blogs. People don't really go to blogs, I don't think, until they're like going there from a specific link that they got on social media or on Pinterest. So I would play around and make websites just for fun. And I was like, maybe I'll be a blogger, you know, like every girl in their 20s, I'm going to be a blogger. Maybe it'll take off. And now I do have a food blog that's actually going pretty well. I really enjoy it. But I would play around and make websites, and I would play around and make graphics for these different projects that we had. We had to make a project advertising a sporting event. And so I made this flyer and it looked really good. And then we had to do another project for like advertising a 5K. So I did that. And then at the end of your sport management degree, you have to put on a full-on event. So I've talked about this before. We did a princess tea party. So we had people dress up like Disney princesses. We couldn't use technically Disney names or whatever because they're like trademarked. But so we built out a full-on website for that, and I still have the link to it, and it's still gorgeous. Fantastic website I built. And I built out a logo. We did some graphics on that social media page, on the Facebook page for events. And when I was making that website and it actually looked like a professional, real website, and I was so proud of myself, I was like, dang, this is fun. I just enjoy doing this. And so that's kind of how I got started. We're going to talk about the tools now, how you can get started, because it's so easy and there's so many freaking ways to do design. It is not just like really in-depth, like you have to have this software and know this coding and understand all of these different color codes. And there is so many different levels to design. And I am not at expert level. I am not at master level. I am at still at beginner, maybe like two steps ahead of beginner. But somebody told me you just need to be one or two steps ahead of somebody else to teach them something. So I'm hoping that this can be helpful for anybody who wants to have either their social media graphics look better, have something for their business look better, have something for just their personal use and design, or have a creative outlet, make a website, anything like that. Like, hopefully this just encourages you or gives you some good tools to use. So the big one, graphic designers, real graphic designers, not me, real graphic designers do not like it when people who just use this website say that they're graphic designers. But this website is pretty awesome. It's basically the graphic design software for people who don't want to learn, can't learn, don't have the money, all kinds of things for making like an actual graphic design. So this website is called Canva, C-A-N-V-A, Canva. So they have so many different templates that you can use to start out with something. So let's say you want to make a header for a Facebook page. They have a template for that. You want to make a cover for a YouTube video. They have a template for that. Instagram post, Facebook post, flyer, brochure, full-on presentation. They have templates for everything. So when you start out with some of these different sites, you can either do template or you can start from scratch. Same with website design. Template or start from scratch. If you're a beginner like me and you're just playing around, you would start out with a template and see, and then you tweak from there. This is what I would suggest for anybody who wants to start out doing something where there is the option to start with a template. Start with a template and see what you can change and what you like, what you don't like, how you can make things bigger, smaller, change the font, change the colors, you know, see what's changeable first before you just like dive in and you have this giant blank canvas, especially with websites, because that is overwhelming. So Canva is a fantastic tool. If you do not know about Canva, you're welcome, because you will use it at some point in your life. If you have to, I almost guarantee it. I know some people who will not use it, but they could have used it. They have resume templates too, which my newest resume is on a Canva template. It looks beautiful. So much better than the boring Microsoft Word one that I had before. And so I just want people to use Canva for beginner things. If you're trying to make something really in-depth, really specific to you, something no one else has ever seen before, you are going to want to use something like Adobe or Adobe with your Photoshop with maybe some Procreate in there. So, but Canva is great for beginners. Another app that, and there's a Canva app as well, so you can use the desktop version, which I prefer, but they also have an app. Another app that's great, they do not have a desktop version though, it's called Over, O-V-E-R. Fantastic. I use this one a lot for the podcast social media because they have, it's similar to Canva with all these templates, but since everyone and their mom uses Canva, Over just has some different templates, some different graphics. It makes you stand out just a little bit more. I'm sure there's other ones, but those are the two that I use the most for your simple social media graphics. Maybe you have a picture, you want to put text on there. Maybe you just want to have like some clip art, some word, make a logo. It's great for that. Make an Instagram post. All of my posts that kind of look like a Polaroid picture for the podcast episodes, it'll say like episode number 100, Lindsay and Casey. All of those, I make them on Over. Great. So those are kind of the two websites and apps. But then once we get into something a little bit deeper, I've talked about using Procreate. So I got my iPad. Here's the thing with Procreate. It's only on an iPad. You can't use it on like a Kindle Fire, on a Surface. It's only on the Apple products. So Procreate is kind of like Paint. You know, the Paint app that you use with your kids, but a million times better. And so I've been having a lot of fun with Procreate, just kind of drawing using my iPad and my Apple Pencil. And I was really inspired by some people who are actual graphic designers to try to make things look a little bit better. And I was like, well, I can't really do this continuing to use Canva. So I wanted to step up. But I suggest using things like Canva first or even Paint. But the thing with Paint is you don't have the pencil version of it. So, and then the next thing is going to be Adobe. So having the Adobe suite is big for real graphic designers. I don't pay for an Adobe suite. I might someday if I keep working on this. But the thing with the Adobe suite is you do have to pay for the annual use. All of the other things I've said so far, they have free versions and they have, you know, you can pay an upgrade for like Canva Pro. And there are some features that are available for Canva Pro or Over Pro that are not available on the free version. But the free version has plenty of good stuff on there. I feel like I'm really nerding out on this right now. Maybe no one will like this episode, but it's okay. So with the Photoshop and Adobe Photoshop, same thing. Lightroom edits photos, all these kind of things. One of the apps that I really enjoy that I want to tell more people about is actually, I used a free version of this app. It is called the Photoshop Mix. And so with that one, you can make collages. So design on your phone, on your computer, on your tablet, whatever. There are so many different options. It is not just making like a picture or putting text on a picture. It can, or making a flyer or making a logo. Like there are so many different options. I love making collages and they are a hit sometimes on my Pinterest, which I also love. So I will make a collage, put it on Instagram, maybe 30, 40 people like it. I put that collage on Pinterest. It has been shared, pinned so many times. Like it has had over 100,000 influences on, like people touching it. So 100,000, something I made, like it makes me so happy. But that's just an app I wanna share, but they have free versions or free trials for a lot of the Adobe things. And I think that's where it gets kind of intimidating for people starting out because it is like, dang, I have to pay for all of this. I don't even know, I'm just trying to do this for fun, or I can do it, like I'll just use something really simple that I made on Microsoft Word with the Times New Roman. And geez, I'm getting really, really nerdy now. But yeah, so I think start out with Canva and Over on your phone and then go from there. But know when you use certain things on Canva and Over or any kind of app that's similar to that, anyone can use that. So it's not gonna be perfectly unique to you. And don't call yourself a graphic designer if you're using like pre-made templates or just clip art from Canva and putting an area. You're designing, but you're not a graphic designer. You're using a software that kind of helps you out a lot of the way. It's kind of like training wheels for design. And that's where I'm at still. Like I still use Canva a lot. I really tweak it a lot more than I've seen a lot of people just use a template, slap their own name on it, and then they're good to go. But I prefer to try to mix in things. So use some elements from Canva, use some elements from something I make myself, and kind of flip it together. So then it is truly unique, even though you're using something that somebody else can, you know, use, replicate. Okay, so I wanted to give some tips for people who want to start out with this. And I wanted to say, why is this an important skill? Why are you talking about this so much? Why do you care? So I wanted to share why I'm doing this is, first of all, because it brings me joy. And if it brings somebody else joy to make these things, then I did my job. But why does it bring me joy? It's fun. I love creating. You guys have listened to me talk about creating for so long, and this is one of those creative processes that I really enjoy. And I think it is kind of the productivity addict in me, the number 3 on the Enneagram, where I'm like, oh, this is like valuable stuff that I'm doing, and it makes me happy, even when, you know, it might not really be valuable. So first of all, it's just fun. It makes me happy. It feels good to create something and be like, dang, that looks good. I can't believe I did that. When we're talking about branding, it's really important to stand out, and it is important, whether we're talking about a brand for an actual brand, like you're selling something, you're selling a course, you're selling a product, You want it to look good. You want it to stand out. You want it to look professional. And it doesn't, professional does not mean that it has to look like what everyone else is doing, but it has to look good. It has to be readable, simple, but creative at the same time. And everyone's creativity is different with these kind of things. But I just want people to think about that. People go a little haywire, I think, when they start designing. They're like, I'm going to add this, and I'm going to add that, and I'm going to add this. And then you're like, what is this smorgasbord of a logo? It's got everything going on. And then some people will go kind of the opposite direction and go like too simple, like black, white, two words, we're good. And it really depends on the feel and what you want people to feel, what kind of like branding is so much. But I think it's important when you're talking about even things, like I said earlier, like a resume, wanting it to look good and represent you. Like if you just add like what I used to do on my resume, it was still just my Microsoft Word template, but my name was like a different color. I felt like that just like was just something a little different, because I am not black and white, Times New Roman, like that's not my style, but I want to be seen as professional. So it's the same as having something that's like a typo. Like if you have something misspelled somewhere on your resume, if you have something that is like this ugly clip art on something you're trying to sell, or a logo or a social media post promoting your event or something, someone's like, ugh, I don't know. It doesn't look good. Like, good really depends on like this professionalism, and the professionalism depends on the level of what you're trying to project here. So the fun, it can be fun too. Like some of my favorite logos are like super colorful, bright, crazy, whatever, but it reflects that brand. You wouldn't want to go to a lawyer and have it look like I'm just thinking like Comic Sans. You don't want it to be like Cody Ross, attorney at law, with like this Crayola crayon drawing. Like, no, you want that to look professional. You want your fun kid zone party to look like a fun place to go. So how you present yourself, it is not just how you present yourself like in words. It's also how things look. And that's true for brands when you're selling something, or when you're just like even your social media or your whatever you're doing, there is some graphic element to it somewhere. There probably is. I mean, even the most bland jobs, I wouldn't say bland. What word am I trying to say? Even the jobs that would be on Dirty Jobs. You've got your plumbers, you got your farmers, you got your construction people. All of them have logos, have shirts, have some kind of branding, even though you might not think of that branding at first. I'm sure they've got a business card. You want your business card to look good. Even if people don't use business cards anymore, maybe your social media is the new business card. You want that to look good. I'm going on a lot of tangents here today, guys. Okay. It's a marketable skill. Last but not least, on the why I wanted to talk about this is, obviously, this kind of goes along with the you want things to look professional, but it is a good skill to have. If you go to a new job and you see something and you say, that does not look very good, like, or that could look better, or whatever it is, a flyer, a business card, a t-shirt, you're like, this is not representing us how I think we should be represented. And you can create something better and actually show it to somebody. Or if you can present your own ideas, like I said earlier, how we had to do designs for flyers and social media for events that were coming up. If you can do that yourself and present your idea for this event that you want to do, for a product you want to launch, and you can make a presentation look good, that is so valuable. And then people will come up to you and be like, can you help me with that? Can you show me how to do that? And that makes you even more valuable in a workplace setting. So it's a good skill to have, I promise. And it's so much easier than you think. So my tips for anyone wanting to get started playing around with design is, tip number one is to play and to have fun with it, because there are so many free options out there. Just play around with it. If nobody's gonna see it, who cares? This is my tip for so many creative outlets, but really, just play. You can build out like something super simple like a logo, or you can go crazy and try to build out a website. You can do these things for free so many ways. Like, there's so many options to do things for free now. It's wonderful. Even if it's just a free trial, and then you're like, wow, I'm really enjoying this. Maybe I'll buy the month subscription, whatever. You gotta play first. You have to have fun with it. My next tip is to leave and come back. Don't keep staring at something. I love doing this. I literally just did this with a project I was working on. I made something, I thought it looked good. And then I left and I came back and I was like, oh, I can add this, I can tweak this, I can change this. And it looked 10 times better. Not twice as good, 10 times better with that little bit of space. That's my tip for people who, you know, you start out, you're like, I don't think this is very good. I'm just gonna keep staring at it. And then you kind of get like in zone and you get too deep. It's really good to leave and come back. And then you come in with fresh eyes. Another tip, don't take anything personally if you ask somebody if they like it and they don't like it. Like, that's the point. You ask them to be honest. So that is just my tip with everything in life. Like, if you ask for it, you ask for it. Ask for honesty. But constructive criticism is really good in these kind of scenarios. But if you're just making something for yourself, you can just go wild, go crazy with it. An actual like tactical design tip I always say is don't try anything more than 5 colors. That's a maximum. Three to four I think is more of the sweet spot, and no more than 2 fonts. If you're doing 2, like a picture or something, you do not want more than 2 fonts. You want them, you don't want crazy, you know. I hope people are understanding what I'm saying when I say this. I have faith in you. You don't want it Times New Roman and then Arial and then Comic Sans and then cursive down here. Like, you want, if you're gonna do more than 1 font, I'd say just 2 in one image. Okay, those were kind of tactical. This is the final 2 tips here. Keep and share your process to kind of see your growth. So, you know how I said leave and come back? I really try to take a lot of screenshots when I'm doing these kind of things, or just copy and then mess with the copy of my design instead of keep tweaking the original design, because then you can see, okay, here's version 1, copy it. And then I mess with it and make a version 2. And then I copy that. And then I tweak it some more. You might see that the simplest one at the beginning might have been your right answer instead of version 5. Or you might look at both and say, oh my gosh, version 5 is so much better than version 1. Like, it's so fun to see kind of that progression, and then sharing that progression if you want to. Because then people can see, like, dang, like, they have something to compare it to. And finally, this is a tough one for me. I've talked about me kind of like being really hard on myself, being a perfectionist with design, with a lot of things. But just because this kind of design is on the computer and it's not something you're doing by hand does not mean it is going to be perfect on the first try. Do not be so hard on yourself. I know this is hard to do. I'm very hard on myself, but I was especially hard with some of these designs on the computer because I'm like, it's a computer. They should just be able to make it, like, it'll be easy, right? And it's not super easy at first. Certain things you'll be surprised at how easy it is. Other things you'll want to do and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I have no idea how this designer did that. I have no idea. And you'll try it and you're like, this looks nothing like what I thought it was going to look like. With Procreate, I have such a learning curve. I'm trying so hard, but from like the first couple weeks when I started to now, huge difference. But it's kind of one of those things, if you were painting this same thing, you would give yourself a lot more grace probably when you're like, huh, this is a hard skill to learn, rather than when it's on the computer, you kind of just expect it to be perfect or close to perfect on the first try. And it's still design. It's still hard. There's still a lot of work to be done. So have fun with it. Leave and come back. Keep track of your progress. And if it doesn't turn out right the first time, that's okay. It's not meant to. It's still design. It's still a lot of work. Some of my favorite projects that I have done have been actually some of my journal prompts that are on the Pish Posh Patreon. I will link that, and I think I am going to actually open up all the Patreon, all of the prompts, just to have them open to everyone, no membership fee or anything, and try to just keep putting more stuff on there. But if I don't put more stuff on there, it'll still just be open. Everything that's been on there previously will just be open to the public because I want people to enjoy those journal prompts. But I've made some really cool graphics with that. And I've done some great graphics for the podcast social media. I've done my podcast cover. I redid my podcast cover. So I love this new one so much more than the last one. And I feel like if I'm doing this podcast again in like 2 years, it'll probably change again. And I'll hopefully love that one so much more. Like growing, changing, it's good. And then most recently I have done at my new work a t-shirt design. And today we just ordered 100 t-shirts and sweatshirts and tank tops with the design on the front and on the back. And I'm really nervous about it, but also really excited because it's just so cool to be proud of something, and being able to see it in the flesh when it's printed out is going to be so exciting. Nothing I've really made has come out in the flesh, besides some of the stuff I did in college. So this is just really exciting and fun for me. The last thing I'll talk about, I wrote a whole bunch of notes for this one, guys, because I was excited. What I would like to do with my design in the future, I really want to make some merch for my Washington Food Girl blog. I'm really trying to do some stickers, maybe some t-shirts. I'd love to do more merch for the podcast as well. And just creating more shareable content. You guys, if you're on social media, you've seen it, whether it's a meme or an inspirational quote, you know how things get shared online. I want to make more things that people really enjoy seeing, they want to share, they want other people to see it, they think it describes them. I want to make more shareable content. So that's a goal of mine. And I would love to do something a little bit more professional with this. I just started, like, with this shirt order that's happening. Like, we ordered 100 shirts, guys. That's a big deal with this. They're gonna have my design on it. And I worked hard on it. And so I would love to do some more stuff like that. And if that comes to fruition, I'll be so excited to kind of share more and just kind of push myself a little bit more to do something. Most of my designs that I do are for me and things that I like. But when you're working with a business, it has to be something that aligns with them and something they really like too. So it's fun and it's pushes me more. I am going to share some of my favorite graphic designers and artists, so you can follow them on social media if you want to. I'll do, like, this is gonna be rapid fire because I am surprised at how long I've been talking. So I talked about this person on the podcast last week. I love her. I love her business courses. I love her designs. She is just a ray of light. She's so cool. So Kinsey Madsen, and she also has a graphic design course that I want to take eventually. It's called Anti-School Design School. I want to take that one. Almost all of my favorite designers are self-taught. So you guys can do this too. It really inspires me. Another one is Emmy Dyer. And all of these people will be linked in the show notes. She lives in Southern Washington, and I've been following her. She owns a bunch of businesses. She designs for boutiques. She has a bunch of her own businesses and social medias that she runs that are really cool. Next one, you have probably heard of her, Morgan Harper Nichols. She does a lot of poetry, and then she designs along with that poetry. And so almost all of the shared poems that you see on, if you're on Instagram and somebody like shares like a little poem, it's probably her. An artist that I love, she does some graphics work or digital work, but I just really love her art, so I wanted to share her as well. Carly Wiggers. Carly Wiggers Art is her Instagram, and she's just so fun. She loves pink color, bright stuff. She makes me so happy. Next one, I think I've talked about both of these people before, Old Soul Design and Wayward Life. They both do Western inspired graphic design. So like cowgirl stuff, country music lyrics, vintage 70s vibes. I love them. Both of them are great. Then another one who also does Western design, really beautiful stuff. It's Written in Sage. And she has done some really beautiful stuff, like more line work with like a, she drew a really pretty barn recently, and it's just really beautiful digital stuff. Love it. And finally, I am in my office and I'm looking at some of this stuff right now by Sam Larson. He is more of a digital artist. He does great work. A lot of nature inspired and some Western inspired stuff as well, but a lot of nature, national parks, stuff like that. There are so many good graphic designers out there, digital artists out there. If you have some that you think I would love, send them to me. I love checking out new people with different vibes. Love it. So to end this episode, I wanted to give you guys some questions to think on. Because if you're kind of interested in design or even just branding in general, these are just great things to think on, to reflect on. And you know me, I'm all about being a conscious consumer. And that doesn't just mean buying stuff that are eco-friendly. It just means being conscious of what you're consuming, what you're purchasing, and what how you're spending your time. So, questions to think on for the end of the episode. Also, before one last thing. Thank you guys for listening to my tangent about all this design stuff. I hope this was somewhat interesting to you. If not, I just rambled and one person will like it. If that one person likes it, if you're that one person, message me and we will jam out on all this fun stuff. But here are my questions to think on to end the episode. Who do you love to follow on social media? Think of specific, and you can journal on these too. Think of specific brands, stores, influencers, small businesses even, inspirational quote pages, meme pages, and then think on why. Why do you love following them? How do they make you feel? And this is similar. What logos or branding do you really love? From TV shows, podcasts, social, when you're in a store and you like a branding, think about those ones too. And these kind of go along with both questions. How do those brands, people, stores, how do they make you feel? How do you want to make people feel? This branding, this design, it's really all about feeling. Do you want people to feel that you're dependable? If you're like one of these businesses, like I talked about, like a construction business, you want to be dependable. You want to look professional and maybe a little bit fun, just slightly fun. Maybe you're a fun restaurant. Maybe you want to be a classy wine bar. Maybe you want to be the fun dance club. Like, how do you want to make people feel? And the best way to really think about that is think about how you feel when you're looking at other brands and other designs. Design is truly different strokes for different folks. Like, it really just depends on what you're looking for. One person's cup of tea will not be somebody else's, but that's perfectly fine. It's just so fun to try it out and start for yourself. And each different brand, project, story that you want to tell is going to be completely different than the next. So that is important to remember when you're designing. You can do something that's like one complete different style one day and something very different the next day and be like, this is still me. These are both me. This is great for this project. This is great for that project. You don't have to put yourself in a box when you do things for yourself, when you're designing. I hope you're having fun with it. And if you have any designs you want to share with me, definitely do it. If you want to see more of my designs, take a look. Just scroll through the Pish Posh Podcast social media pages. And I have a lot of secret stuff too that I don't even share. So there's a lot of fun designs. And if you follow me on my food blog, Washington Food Girl, I'm hoping for some merch coming there soon. So stay tuned for that. But Hope you guys like this one. It's definitely very different. I feel like I've been saying it's different every week, but I'm really finding some different footing here. So we're having fun with it, and I hope you guys have fun with your listening. And thanks for dealing with all the different noises that have been going on. There's birds chirping, there's sirens, there's airplanes. I'm sorry. I try to have like such good audio quality, so I apologize. But hope you love this one. Party on. See you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on.